The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The Northern Ireland Protocol back in the headlines once again, with the UK Foreign Secretary Liz Truss announcing legislation to amend parts of the protocol. This is Ms. Truss speaking to the House of Commons yesterday.
To respond to the very grave and serious situation in Northern Ireland, we are clear there is a necessity to act to ensure the institutions can be restored as soon as possible. The Government is clear that proceeding with the bill is consistent with our obligations in international law and in support of our prior obligations in the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. And before any changes are made, we will consult businesses and people in Northern Ireland as our proposals are put forward. I want to be clear to the House that this is not about scrapping the protocol. Our aim is to deliver on the protocol's objectives. We will cement those provisions which are working in the protocol, including the common travel area, the single electricity market, and north-south cooperation, whilst fixing those elements that aren't, on the movement of goods, goods regulation, VAT, subsidy control, and governance. The bill will put in place the necessary measures to lessen the burden on east-west trade and to ensure the people of Northern Ireland are able to access the same benefits as the people of Great Britain.
That was Liz Truss yesterday. Well, the European Commission has raised the spectre of a trade war with the UK, saying it would retaliate with all measures at its disposal. We're joined now by Stephen Kelly, Chief Executive of Northern Ireland Manufacturing, and we'll be talking to former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern as well about the politics of all of this. But first of all, Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's look at the sums, first of all. There is a lot of extra administration, that's for sure. How much is it costing Northern Ireland in that sense? And on the other side of the ledger, how much is it gaining from having access to the two markets, the single market and the UK market?
Well, Pat, that's a really important way of putting that question, because a lot of the analysis so far, certainly from opponents of the protocol, is that all this comes at extra cost and no benefit at all. So there are some analysis in the north that says it's costing about almost €1 billion a year, but none of that takes any account of the free access and free movement of goods from the EU into Northern Ireland, and indeed the extra sales that we've made. So our own analysis is that on a commercial transaction cost, it cost about £195 million to businesses in the north last year. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that ledger, we have £1 billion extra in sales on the island of Ireland and zero cost on our EU supply chain. And to give that some context, since the UK has left the EU, goods exports from the UK to the EU have declined by 16%, 16%, whereas exports from the north to Ireland have increased by 60%, 60%. So quite clearly, EU buyers are moving away from the island of Britain, but continuing some sort of UK supply chain by buying more from Northern Ireland, and that's only to our benefit.
So when Liz Truss is talking about bringing in legislation in the coming weeks, and no detail yet, and that might be the glimmer of hope that this is simply saber-rattling and nothing will come of it, but when she's talking about bringing in this to amend the protocol, what is your reaction to that kind of approach, which will put her at war with the EU?
Well, essentially what Liz Truss did yesterday was reheat the lunch that was served up by Lord Frost back in July of last year, which was his command paper. The good news is that all the briefings in advance was that this was going to be something done very quickly. It was going to be much more aggressive than what was proposed yesterday. But clearly there's been a rethink in number 10, a rethink in the Foreign Office, and have stepped back a little bit from that brink, which is very positive. But what I would say, Pat, is that having dealt with this issue since 2016, having spent a lot of time in Parliament, including in Parliament today, these people are more than capable of taking some crazy decisions. And I think it's incumbent on us all, on the UK government, on the EU, and indeed people and businesses in the North, to actually make sure that a deal and agreement is found before this legislation and this bill sees its way through Parliament.
Now, there are difficulties, obviously, administrative difficulties, and technology can sort out some of them. Also, practice makes perfect. I mean, there comes a time when you're doing it so regularly that it doesn't become onerous, it just becomes part of your routine. But do you think the British government, as Liz Truss said there, will actually talk to businesses in Northern Ireland and people who maybe are having difficulties on the island of Britain in getting their goods to Northern Ireland? Do you think they'll be talking to them to get the nuts and bolts of this so that, you know, an approach by the EU could maybe bring a resolution to some of the difficulties that you have?
Well, we've been deeply engaged with both the UK government and the EU themselves, certainly since the protocol has come into operation in January of last year. In fact, we've engaged directly with Vice President Sefcovic on probably half a dozen times, including in person. We had his team across in Northern Ireland back in March of this year so they could see for themselves for the very first time the practicalities on the ground and how business actually operates. And we do the same with the UK government. It is disappointing, though. Liz Truss is in the job about 6 months and she's only had a 15-minute engagement with 16 business groups across Zoom. And her junior minister has never engaged at all with anybody in business in Northern Ireland. So whilst their teams understand, it's important that those political decision makers understand as well, which is one of the reasons why we're in London today. You're right that the nuts and bolts become a lot easier for people, and all the evidence is suggesting that. So our own survey work shows that many manufacturers have gotten to grips with it, but that doesn't remove the friction entirely. So 1 in 5 manufacturers in the North say that their supply chain from GB is still unwilling to send stuff to Northern Ireland. And that's a fundamental problem that we need to resolve.
And is that because it's too much trouble with the administration or have they, you know, a buoyant market at home and they couldn't be bothered if the margins are affected by the administration and so on? Because if those UK suppliers are exporters and are maybe losing market share or threatened with losing market share in the EU, you know, they might be glad of the Northern Ireland market in time.
It's partly about market size and it's partly about the cost of doing this. It is cumbersome. It is difficult. It's the reason why Irish companies are no longer buying from GB companies. It's exactly the same principle that we face in the North. But the slight difference here is that you've got to ask, well, why are people continuing to try to buy from Great Britain? It's because of cultural, it's because of currency, it's because of legal structure, it's because of history and experience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also a lot of things that we can only get from GB. And whenever the UK and the EU, and particularly on the EU side, agreed the protocol, the expectation was that supply chains would shift. And that has absolutely happened, that there has been quite a significant shift in supply chains to businesses in the North. But what we're left with now is the supply chain that cannot shift. It's not the supply chain that will not shift. Yeah. And if we take the medicines issue as an example, the expectation in Europe was that the medicine supply chain would move and shift to an EU supply chain. But it became apparent pretty quickly that that could not happen. And it wasn't just Northern Ireland that was left vulnerable at that point. It was also Ireland, Cyprus and Malta, who rely quite heavily on the UK as a supply chain for pharmaceuticals and for medicines. So that's why the EU moved. That's why they changed their law in order to make sure that those supply chains reopened. Yeah. And in many respects, that's where we are now with other parts of the supply chain. If we can get those bits that cannot move
and sort them,
supply chain, and sort them, then we're in a much better place.
Okay. I was just reading an article about pig producers who were on their knees in Northern Ireland in terms of price and so on, abandoned the protocol, flood Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK with cheap Brazilian pork, get rid of the protocol, the sheep farmers flood their market with New Zealand sheep. Not a prospect to be savoured by either sector. So, you know, that's...
Well, it's not something to be savoured by anybody in business in the North. We don't want this protocol to be gone. There's universal support for it amongst the business community. Yes, there are people having problems and they have their own identity issues as well that maybe drive some of their thinking on it. But if I just take manufacturing as an example, 3/4 of them say the protocol's here, we want it to work a bit better, and let's get on with it and capture the opportunity that exists. And that's common right across business in the North. So the move by the UK government yesterday was not at our request. We made that abundantly clear to them in a letter 2 weeks ago, directly to the Prime Minister, to Liz Truss and to Brandon Lewis. What we want is for our own parties in the North to come together, agree on the things that they can agree on, put that as a request to both the UK and the EU, and try to find some settled status here that gives the business community the certainty that it needs for the long term.
All right. Stephen Kelly, Chief Executive of Northern Ireland Manufacturing, thank you very much for joining us. Former Taoiseach Bertie O'Hearn listening to that conversation. Fascinating, Bertie, yeah?
Yeah, it is, Pat. And the figures show for the first 3 months of the year the huge shift in trade north-south and from Europe into Ireland. I mean, you're talking about increases of over 50-60%. So, you know, people vote with their feet, and what's happening is suppliers are finding alternative ways of doing business, and you know, business will always do business, and that's what's happening. And I think a lot of them are going to stick with that as well. They continue to find ways of directly dealing with the continent into Ireland, North and South, and the figures are showing that.
Now, talk to me about the politics of this. I mean, the tarnished Leo Varadkar was on our breakfast programme a few minutes ago saying that what the British government is proposing, aligning itself with the DUP, actually, given the attitude of most of the people in Northern Ireland to the protocol, amounts to a form of minority rule, which they're enforcing if they decide to scrap elements or all of the protocol.
Yeah, I think it's disappointing that they have broken an international agreement and gone ahead with, at least they haven't gone ahead with legislation. They're talking about what they'll do. And I think the efforts of the Taoiseach, the Minister Simon Coveney and others over the last week have pushed them back from where they were. I think what Stephen Kelly said there is correct. They haven't moved to where they were going. But what's I think more annoying, it's bad enough that they break an agreement, but you know, Lord Frost made his statement now almost a year ago of where they were going. Then in October, there was a substantive reply to that, dealing with the medicines issue, but also outlining the ways that the European Union, Marcus Sokovic, believed that we could make progress. That was in October, and you and I spoke at that stage. Then damn all happened until February. And then in February, the executive collapsed, and then there was a few meetings in February. And then they suspended the talks in February, and now we're in May. So there's been no talk since that first week in February, no response to the October issue, which was a very detailed response by the European Union. And now we're in May, not having another meeting, but there is a pending meeting, but it's threatening legislation. So it's a very, you know, ham-fisted way of the British government dealing with the protocol
but
being in Northern Ireland.
Standing back from it, I mean, do you think to Boris Johnson and Liz Truss that Northern Ireland is a bit of an irrelevancy? They're just playing silly buggers with Northern Ireland for their own domestic, internal Conservative Party politics.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Now, I was delighted to hear that Boris has finally decided that the Good Friday Agreement is important and the partnership in Northern Ireland is important and that he needs to do something about it. He probably feels a bit guilty that when he made the deal back in 2019 with Leo Varadkar, that he probably feels that he wasn't totally fair to the DUP. So he's now trying to make up to that. But that's just one aspect. The bigger aspect is that the European Research Group are on his back over other issues, nothing to do with Ireland, and he has to placate them. And he's doing that. He's doing it not only on the protocol, but he's also doing it on the issues to do with an amnesty for victims. So, you know, it's unfortunate we always get caught up in Tory politics, but I think that, you know, leaving that aside, Pat, the essential thing now, I think, is not to wait around for the legislation. I mean, there's not a hope in hell of this legislation being through before the summer. Even if it was published before the summer, it's going to run into the autumn. So there'll be no Northern Ireland executive if that's the case. So I think really what I'd love to see is that there is detailed negotiations between Liz Truss, not every few months for a few hours and then back to London, but really detailed discussions to try and resolve the few issues. There's not that many issues that should be resolved.
Yeah. I'm just wondering about their attitude, because I never thought I'd hear it said, but the Taoiseach this morning said about the British, you know, that we, the Irish, are going to have to be the grown-ups in the room, because they are not.
Well, I mean, they just keep kicking the game around. I mean, I won't repeat myself. I mean, if you look what they've done over the last year, they haven't really taken this serious. And, you know, they have a lot of other things on their agenda and we're not important. And, you know, I think I wish the unionists would also see that, because it would all help if we had our north-south bodies up and running, if we had our the executive working with the Irish government, all these things that haven't now worked for a long time. And this is the sad thing. While the Tory party will have their invites on who the next leader might be, or might be a man or woman, that we're caught up in that. But I think we have to keep ourselves focused. We have to keep ourselves focused that we need a resolution to the protocol so that we get the institutions in the north up and running, that we get the stability of our trade, and we get on with our business. And I don't think we can, you know, I think we should express our disappointment, and I think the EU have still backed us. Maybe Britain thought that wouldn't happen, but they're backing us strongly. But it's better we get a negotiated resolution to this. I mean, there were three ways of sorting this out. There was the Article 15 or Article 16, which they haven't gone down. There was this ham-fisted way of doing the legislation or negotiated settlement. The best way of doing this, Pat, is to sit at the table and stay at the table and negotiate these issues out. I mean, there's only a handful of them, and I mean, I'm very familiar with all of them, and there is a way of resolving them.
Yeah. You just wonder, because I heard someone say that the thing about the Brits is that the EU makes concessions, as it has done. They just take them and say, thank you very much, and then off they go looking for more. You know, they are Oliver Twist with the begging bowl, I want more.
That's what they've permanently done. But the reason for that, Pat, is that really what Britain wants, I mean, their concern for Northern Ireland, that was limited. Let's give them a little bit of credit and say that they have a little bit, but it's limited. But what they really are concerned about is their services industry, their financial industry, and the banking passports, the insurance industry. The modern Britain make their surpluses on those financial services and related industries. They don't have those within the trade deal. They'd love to get those within the trade deal. So what's in the back of their mind all the time is to try and create a position where they can get those onto the negotiating table, and then they quickly find a solution to the protocol. But there's not a hope in hell, I think, of that happening with the EU until they resolve the protocol.
Bertie Ahern, former Taoiseach, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.